Tonight we will be, of course, in the book of Colossians, but we're going to go to chapter 2 this evening. Colossians chapter 2. Simply not enough time in a camp meeting environment to preach the entire book. It has 95 verses, but I do have three verses on my heart that I really want to share with you tonight. Colossians chapter 2. I can't find my timer. Thought I had it, and I don't. I've got a backup system, but it's not as good. Oh, let me thank you for something you have done and you are doing, reading the book of Colossians over and over again. Last night's the first night I got a feel of how many times we've read Colossians, and I just got that as you got your booklet. Some of you said I've read it twice. Somebody had read it four times, three times. So far, best I can calculate, 789 chapters out of Colossians have been read by us as a camp meeting family. 789. And that does not include today's reading. We'll figure out how to calculate that. Nor does it include tomorrow. You can read the Bible on Sunday. That don't even include tomorrow's reading yet. And that number will grow. We sure do believe. Then I want to say this, because I've tried to say nothing personal. I'm not at ease saying personal things. But we have our little ministry. We have a Bible study website. We've had the website since 2003. Write a new Bible study lesson every morning and post it on the website, and all those studies have been archived through the years. Just finished 195 lessons on Isaiah. We went through the book of Isaiah. Prior to that, 205 lessons on Galatians. Fell in love with Galatians. And right now, and I may have bitten off more than it can chew, we're going through the book of Leviticus. And oh my, what the Lord is showing this preacher from the book of Leviticus. It is the book of worship. It is the book of worship in the Old Testament. So we, and you say, well, how would I do that? The little booklets that you are getting for reading Colossians, on the back cover, it's got the website address. But it's just my name, drmikebagwell.com or .org. Either one will get you to the website. Come study with us. I want you to smile at me. Open 24 hours a day. Come study God's Word. Amen. Colossians chapter number 2, beginning at verse 13. Just going to read verse 13 and then verse 14 and then verse 15. I think I'll say this. Wouldn't surprise me if it's going to be about Jesus. Everything in here has been. Would you stand with me as I read these three verses? Colossians 2, 13 through 15. And you, it's a pronoun, isn't it? It's plural. Paul is talking to the church, the believers in Christ Jesus in that distant city of Colossae. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. And that's where we were, as sinners. Hath he I think that's God the Father.
Amen.
Hath he quickened? He hath quickened together with him. I think that's God the Son.
Amen.
Hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all, don't you love that word? All trespasses. Verse 14. Blotting out. It's another participle. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. It was against us. Which was contrary to us. And he, look what Jesus did. He took it out of the way. He took it, that handwriting of ordinances, he took it out of the way, comma, nailing it to his cross. My. Verse 15. And having spoiled, he spoiled some. Having spoiled principalities and powers. We got to figure out who that is, what that is. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he, our Lord, made a show of them. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You may be seated. Appreciate you standing. As I read the text for tonight. Verse 13. Now, that's the way I preach. There are probably better ways of doing it. And this certainly violates all the homiletics textbooks I've ever seen. I just take it a verse at a time. I'm going to talk about verse 13. I started to say I don't have any points in my sermon tonight. You ought to have points. And it dawns on me, I do have points. Verse 13, verse 14, and verse 15. Hope I get an amen. Let's get started. Anybody excited tonight? And you, plural, pronoun you. If Paul were a southerner, he'd say, and y'all. Yeah. Same thing. And y'all. Who would it be? Not everybody in Colossae. Those who have been born again, who are blood washed in Colossae, and you. I got to ask this. I think it would be in order. Is there anybody here tonight who's been saved? Anybody here been washed in the blood of the Lamb and you're on your way to glory? If so, and you, you're included in these verses. I do not title my sermons, never have. If somebody comes and they say, now that we recorded this, what do I always name my sermon after the text. It'd be Colossians 2. 13 through 15. But if I had to select a title, this is what it would be. What Jesus did on the old rugged cross for you and me. What our Lord accomplished on Calvary on our behalf. I'm talking to some folks that know and love and study their Bibles. I doubt any of us knows all he did on Calvary.
Amen.
That wasn't as good an amen as I anticipated. I followed the preacher for a while, listened to CD, well, it was on cassette originally. I enjoyed him. And then he made a statement and I had to part ways. He questioned the efficacy of the blood, and I couldn't stay with him. But he had a list of 46 things Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. 46 things. Brilliant mind. Had a doctorate in both Greek and Hebrew from a Western university. 46 things. I can't hold a candle of that kind of intelligence. But when I heard 46, I believe the old boy's a little bit low on his estimate. What do you mean you think he's low? I think there are at least 93. You pick that number out of the air, you think there are at least 93 things?
Yep.
Why? Little old ignoramus like me. Why? Here's why. Because a half ain't never been told. I'm simply saying there is no telling. All he did for us on the old rugged cross, we'll know in glory. I'm saying. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. I may get in trouble here. I don't mean to. I don't want to be divisive. But I am going to say this, and I think I'll get some of them. We were dead. We were dead in our sins when he found us. Lost and undone. We were, I'll need an amen, we were depraved individuals. Dead. 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 In your sin. And that word uncircumcision, it carries the idea of filth. Vile, dirty garbage. Can't define it in detail. Wouldn't do it in this type of an environment. It is a very specific word. We were in a mess before we got saved. Are y'all okay with that? I don't know whether to go here or not. I'm praying. I believe in depravity. But I don't believe in depravity like some believe in depravity. I've heard fellows say, well now I don't agree with old John Calvin on a lot of his stuff, but I agree with him on that total depravity. Listen to me. I doubt you really do agree with him on total depravity. Am I okay? Did I say John Calvin? I can't believe that came out of my mouth. I do not believe Calvinism is a theology. I believe it is a philosophy. I don't believe it came out of the Bible myself. Pray tell, where did John Calvin get his doctrine? He got it from a man named Martin Luther. Oh my, great Martin Luther. Oh my, I got to behave myself, but Martin Luther is not great in my book. Oh, Brother Bagwell. He's a leader of the Reformation. Can I go on? I wasn't involved in the Reformation. The Reformation's got nothing to do with me. I never did belong to that outfit. I'm old fashioned, born again, blood washed, independent, glory to God. I didn't come out. I didn't come out of that mess. I never was in that mess to begin with. I got fired one week preaching revival for statements like that. Said it on Sunday morning. Said it again on Sunday night. That pastor called me in Monday. He said, this meeting is over. Said, you will not preach here again this week. That's what he told me. And you don't know what it means for these boys to be hollering on their feet. There ain't many in what I got fired for preaching one night. Oh, this time. You say, well, now you've offended me. You sort of denigrated Martin Luther. You go home. You get you a search engine of some kind. And you type in Martin Luther and the Jews. Put it in there. And you will find out that Martin Luther hated the Jews. He despised the Jews. He belittled the Jews. He made statements, let's burn their houses to the ground. Let's destroy their synagogue. Preacher, I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to sow any discord in God's house tonight. But I'm telling you what, if somebody don't love Israel, if somebody don't bless Israel, that they're no friend of mine. They're no friend of mine, bless you. Brother Bagwell, you must think the Jews make no mistakes. You must think that, no, I didn't say that. They make a lot of mistakes. They're still in unbelief. But my Savior was a Jew, and I tell you that, and my Bible came to me through Jewish hands. Hallelujah to God. God bless Israel. Hallelujah. John Calvin got it from Martin Luther, but it wasn't original when Martin Luther. He got it from a Roman Catholic monk named Saint Augustine or Saint Augustine, that God in eternity past elected some to go to heaven and others to go to hell. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it with that. That's not the God I read about in my Bible. I read it. One of them said the other day, he said God's as happy when somebody he didn't elect goes to hell. Said God's as thrilled with that as one that did elect to go. That's not the God of John 3:16, ladies and gentlemen. Plus, yeah, but I ain't in my verse like I want to be yet. Plus, get this down. Plus, I ain't getting my doctrine from a Roman Catholic nothing, by sure. I'll just get mine from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Whoa, how'd we get into all that? Dead. We were dead in our trespass. Calvinism believes that you're so dead, totally depraved, you can do nothing. God has got to save you. God has got to regenerate you. I mean, before you believe, before you get under conviction, God's got to do that for you. That's not the order of salvation that's laid down in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. And you being dead in your sins. I want to show you something. I got my verses right here. I printed them out. How many of y'all believe when God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, showed them that tree of life, showed them that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, you are not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Am I right or wrong? The day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Yes, sir. Amen. So what he saying? I mean, I got the verse. It's Genesis 2:17. Thou shalt surely die. Yeah. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, Eve saw it. She took of the fruit. She did eat, gave to her husband, and he did eat. Could I get an amen? They ate that stuff. They ate that stuff. God said, if you eat it, you'll die. And they ate it. They died. They died. You say, no, they didn't. Adam lived to be 930 years old. They did not die physically there that moment. I'll tell you how they died. Will I get an amen? They died spiritually there. Spiritually dead. Adam and Eve in the garden, scared to death, hiding from God, made them some kind of cloth, fig leaves. Are y'all with me? They're dead. They're depraved. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Here he comes. He comes every evening in the cool of the day. It's the Lord God Almighty. But Adam's dead now. Eve's dead now. And they, Genesis 3:8, King James Version, and they heard the voice of the Lord God. They heard the voice. They're dead. They're spiritually dead, but they heard the voice of God. And walking in the cool of the day. And Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? And Adam said, I heard thy voice. He's dead, but he heard God's voice. He's dead, but he heard God's call. He's dead. Oh, man. You can be dead in your trespasses and your sins, and you can hear the Holy Ghost calling you. Hallelujah. Y'all all right? I love you, but the way I'm feeling right now, I don't even care if you're all right, be honest with you. Believe I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. We're dead. We were dead in our sins and the uncertain. But oh my, look at verse 13, what he did. Said he had quickened together with him. I was dead. They sang it beautifully. Will they get an amen? But I ain't dead no more. Y'all can do better than that. I was dead, but now I've been made alive. Now I've been quickened. That word quickened, it uses zoe. It's a little Greek word. There are two words in Greek for life. Bios. It gives us biology. It's life, just the cells and the blood and the muscles and the bones. But the word Zoe, that means life on the highest plane. That means life with meaning. That means, thank God, that's eternal life. Thank God, that's life more. Oh, I was dead. I was lost. I was on my way to hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, touched me. And he quickened me. And he made me a born again child of God. Hallelujah. I've been quickened. Amen. Let me give you a thought, and it's a Pauline thought. He shared it with the Ephesians, not the Colossians. Think about this. We've been made alive. We've been quickened. With him, with our Savior. Paul said the same Holy Ghost. There ain't but one. The same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the grave. The same Holy Ghost that broke him out of the shackles of the devil and death itself. That's the same Holy Ghost that's living in you right now. That's the same Holy Ghost that's been abiding with us all day long. I'm telling you, we have been raised with Christ our Lord. There's another way to put it. I've been born again. Hallelujah. What Jesus did on the cross, he quickened me. He quickened me. He quickened me. Oh, look here. Having forgiven you all trespasses. He did something else. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Is there a bottle of water right here that I can illustrate with, or can somebody get me a bottle of water? Well, thank you, son. Normally, having forgiven you all trespasses, I used the verb last night, euphemia. It normally means to be forgiven. A heavy load is lifted. Y'all remember last night?
Amen.
Carried far away. That's the normal word for forgiveness. But the Holy Ghost does not use it here. This what I'm about to say, it won't mean a thing to you unless you believe every single word is inspired. Hand chosen by the Holy Ghost of God. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Having forgiven, it's a participle. I'm going to tell you what it does. Look it up when you get home. Use Vines, use Throngs, use your Bible. Look it up when you get home. It takes the word grace and makes a verb out of it and literally says this. I got to watch you when I tell you. He graced away your sins. He graced away your sins. Now, Brother Bagwell, that's not as theologically deep, but it may not be. Brother Bagwell, that doesn't have the grammar, but I don't know. I just know it says he graced. I didn't know you could grace away sins. He graced away our sins. Preacher, can you explain that? And I don't know that I can. Several years ago now, it was one of those times that the Roman Catholic Pope visited America, not the current Pope, his predecessor. He came to New York City. The Pope did. Y'all don't act like you're very interested in the Pope. And he held this gigantic mass in Manhattan. It's on television. All the networks had it. And I watched the Pope just passing through the room. I watched the Pope and he was doing something. Dumb me, I'm not versed in. I'll do the preaching, young man. That's sweet. I mean, people were thronging in, almost shoving each other. I didn't know. I asked my buddy, I said, what's the Pope doing? And he said, you don't know what the Pope's doing? Which means he didn't know what the Pope was doing either. Ask around. Somebody said that's holy water. Said he's dipping his hand in holy water. And he's blessing all them congregants. Blessing. That's a grace word.
Yeah, yeah.
Blessing all those participants.
Yeah, come on.
Dumb me. I'm a Baptist. God saved me in a little Baptist environment.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to thinking, ain't nobody ever blessed me in any such ritual.
Come on. Come on.
Nobody ever took holy water. Sprinkle it my way. Holy Ghost of God climbed up on my shoulder and he said, son, you ain't never been sprinkled with holy water, but you sure have been sprinkled with something a whole lot better than holy water. And I'm thinking, I wonder what it was. And he told me, I'll need an amen. It's the blood of Jesus. Thank God I've been sprinkled. I've been washed. I've been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb of an Almighty God. I'm a recipient of the grace of an Almighty God tonight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah to his name. I say thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. His blood has grace. Has grace away my sin. Hallelujah. Y'all all right? Do you remember the day you got sprinkled? Do you remember the day you got bathed? You got washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, he's graced away all of our trespasses. Y'all all right? That's verse 13. Now verse 14. See what it says. Oh, Dr. Criswell, W.A. Criswell, Dallas, Texas. One of my heroes in the ministry. Preached at that fashionable First Baptist Church. Millionaires in the congregation every week. Started preaching in Genesis 1:1, said I'm going to preach all the way through the Bible. Amen. Where he left off Sunday morning, he took up, they said it won't last, you can't do it, you'll never make it through Chronicle. Hear me. 18 years and 6 months later, after he started Genesis 1:1, I'll need a name, he preached Revelation 22:21. All the way through the Bible. One of my heroes. I was preaching in Texas. Debbie and I got in the car and rode over at that church. It's massive now, even compared to what you, and they couldn't find his pulpit. Not the new. And I said, I want that old pulpit. Couldn't find it. Then a man in the janitorial staff, he said, I think I know where it may be. He went over there, preacher. He got it out, rolled it out there, and I stood behind it. I let my wife make my picture, standing behind that pulpit. Now, I got into all that because I wanted to say this, and it's a dilemma I'm in right now. Dr. Criswell says, a lot of preachers pace their study floors on Saturday night, saying, what am I going to preach tomorrow? I've had a busy week. I've visited and I've been where death has come and old folks' homes and the sick. And what am I going to preach tomorrow? Dr. Criswell said, get this, man. I too pace the floors of my study on Saturday night, wringing my hands, wondering, see if you get it. What am I going to have to leave out tomorrow? What is it I won't have time to get into the sermon? He had studied so full. He had immersed himself in the Word of God. He said, I gotta, that's where I am tonight. Not what am I gonna preach? What am I gonna have to leave out? My, what Jesus did on the cross for me and you. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. It was not only against us. The word there means down upon. Kata. Whatever this handwriting of ordinances, it's heavy. It's down on us. Which was contrary to us. That means it's in your face. Whatever this thing is, it is bad news. Handwriting of ordinances. It's against us. Contrary to... Oh. Maybe I better tell you what that handwriting of ordinances is. It's a technical term. It's from the world of the banker, the accountant, commercial term. Handwriting of ordinances. What is it? It is a list of all the bills you owe. everything you've run up. All the time. It comes into prominent play when a man's going bankrupt. They didn't have bankruptcy laws like we do. When a man's going bankrupt. Preacher Bagwell, what do you mean going bankrupt? Back then, if you went bankrupt, they posted the bills you wouldn't pay in the city square. They nailed it up right there in the agora for everybody to see. Handwriting of ordinance. If you can't pay your bills, if you're going belly up, you're going bust, you're going bankrupt, you're fixing to be embarrassed. No end. Handwriting of ordinance. Now the Holy Ghost took that term and He's brought it here around the cross of Calvary. Well, I don't understand it, preacher. Handwriting of ordinances. Debts I cannot pay. Does anybody here believe we were indebted to an Almighty God? Heard somebody say the other day, said we had sinned, and we owed the devil this, and we owed the devil that. I want to make an announcement. I don't owe the devil a stinking thing. You don't owe the devil nothing. Devil's never done you a bit of good. We did not offend the devil. We offended Almighty God. We got a load of indebtedness against God we could not pay, ladies and gentlemen. Handwriting of ordinances. I don't know, preacher. You got some convincing to do to make me believe that my sins are debts against God. Lord's Prayer. One gospel, Matthew and Luke both record it. Forgive us our trespasses. So we forgive those who sins. Listen to the other. Forgive us our debts. Sins are debts against an Almighty God. And I was a sinner. I was lost. I was on my way to hell. I was spiritually bankrupt. I had run up a tab I could never pay. And y'all know what the wages of sin is. It's death. I'll die and go to hell. Here are all my sins. All my iniquities. All my trespasses. Well, what in the world did Jesus do about it? Here it is, verse 14. Hope I get some amens. Blotting out. That ain't a good enough amen. Blotting out. I looked that up. I wanted to have a feel of what it meant. It means something like this. Here's my poster. There's my text. Time Jesus got through. If that was a handwriting, time Jesus got through with it, get me an amen. It looked like that. Hallelujah. He blotted it out. He erased it away. Hey, hey, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Hallelujah. If I could sing, I can't sing a lick, I'd break into a verse, what sins are you talking about? Hallelujah. Blotted them out to the glory of God. And the verb blotting out, I noticed it again this afternoon. It's amazing. It does mean to erase. It does mean to rub away. But it incorporates in it the word for oil. O-I-L. Whatever wipes it out has got an oil base. O-I-L, oil. O-I-L, oil. Like in G-R-E-A-S-E, Greece. Do you know what I think that's a picture of? Need about a dozen amen. I believe that's the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost who put me under conviction. The Holy Ghost who wooed me to Jesus. The Holy Ghost who baptized me into the body of Christ. Thank God my sins have been blotted out. Hallelujah. Blotting out, handwriting of ordinances was against us. It is contrary to us. And He took it out of the way. He took it out of the way. Let that be. Won't be able to use these no more. They're soaked. I don't know. Somebody got it wet up here. what would it be? He took it out of the way. My sins. My debt. Took. It's the verb A-I-R-O. He reached down. He grabbed it. It literally means he put it in the air. He lifted it up higher and higher and higher. He took it out of the way, way there in the middle. He took it right out of the middle of my life. He took it right out of the middle of my soul and my being. And I got to get over here so I can do it right. Hope I get it. And he took it out of the way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll have to practice that one a little bit. It went the wrong way. Are y'all all right? But there's more. Nailing it to his cross. Is there a box of tissue? Is there a box of Kleenex anywhere in the building? Or somebody got just a few I could illustrate with? If not, I'll do it another way. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Give me a moment. It's worth thinking about. Son, here's the ordinance of handwriting that's against you. It's all your sins. Well, I need an amen. It's enough to send you to hell. So I don't want to pick on you or nothing. I believe yours is a little longer. I don't know how that happened. You're awful eager for him to get that. Preacher. Son, I hate to do it, but all have sinned and come short. Handwriting of ordinances. Down the line we could go. I don't want my illustration to take too long. And preacher, there's yours. And Brother Raines, there's yours. And I don't know, fellas, I feel like I'm leaving y'all out, and that wouldn't be right. You're telling me Jesus took all my sins, my bankruptcies, my filth, and he wiped it away, and he lifted it out of my life. Yeah, but that last thing. Nailing it to his cross. I'm not worthy to do this, but I'm going to play the role of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to come down the line to every one of you. You got some mighty ugly sins in your hand. And it's up to you. It's your choice. But if you'll give them to me, I'll take them. If you'll give them to me, I'll blot them away. Let's see. Hey, he's willing. And, oh my, I'm doing real good. Oh my, I want you to look at this. I'm getting, oh my. You say, preacher, how much can Jesus handle? I'll tell you how much he can handle. He can handle. He can handle the sin of the whole world. Hallelujah. Hey, I want to say it. He died for everybody. Thank God. He took their handwriting of ordinances. He took my handwriting of ordinances. What did he do, preacher? He went to the old rugged cross and he nailed it. He nailed it. He nailed it there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are gone. They're gone. Praise. It's exactly what that verse says. Nailed it. To his cross. Can I tell you something? I hope you'll smile. He was a carpenter. Nailed it. To his cross. What Jesus did. On Calvary. Verse 15. Need my glasses. Verse 15. Are y'all all right? I'm at 43 minutes and 55 seconds. Are you still all right? I told Debbie tonight, I said, this won't be long tonight.
That old John Calvin liked to run this sermon, I'll tell you what. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers. He not only did something for me and you on Calvary. He did something principalities and powers on Calvary. Let me try to do 5 minutes of preaching in one sentence. Principalities and powers, that would include the demons, the devils, the fallen angels, Lucifer himself. They were there. They were present that day at Calvary. They might not ought to be. They sure are going to get the short end of the deal. But Jesus took the devil, and Jesus took the devil and his crowd that day. And you know what he did? Let me see how country y'all are. He whooped them. Hallelujah. He whooped them. Now, whooped is not the King James rendering. Let's look at him. Having spoiled principalities and powers. I'll make an announcement. If you'll amen it, we'll get out a little quicker. Jesus wasn't scared of the devil. Heard somebody say the other day at Gethsemane, Jesus got cold feet. Jesus got scared. He nearly chickened out. He is begging God to get... I don't believe that for a minute. I believe Jesus set his face like a flint to go to the cross of Calvary. I believe he is determined. I don't believe the devil could have kept him off that cross. I'd love some time to talk about that, but at another occasion. He spoiled the devil and his demons. Ek duo. Having spoiled. Ek duo. What does it mean? It means spoiled. But precisely, what does it mean? Duo in Greek means this. What I'm about to do with this coat. It means to enrobe yourself. To put your clothes on, your garment, your tunic. I have been endued. Remember what Jesus told the disciples after his resurrection? You boys go back to Jerusalem and you tarry till you be endued with power from on high. See if I get it. Till you be clothed with the Holy Ghost of God. But Jesus did not enduo the devil and the demons. He ekduoed, spoiled the devil and his demons. En means you put it on. Ek means you take it off. Let me tell you what Jesus did to the devil at the cross of Calvary. He got a hold of that rascal. He wouldn't let go of that rascal. And he stripped him. He stripped him. I'll need an amen. He stripped him of his armor. Hallelujah. He stripped him of his weaponry. Hallelujah. Again, if you're country enough, Jesus knocked his socks off that day on the cross of Calvary. He robbed him. He stripped him. He took away his armor. Hallelujah. He is now a defeated devil. Praise. Y'all okay? Having spoiled principalities and powers. I believe the devil's been defeated for 2,000 years in there. The blood of the cross. I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to. I read it years ago, an old missionary in the deepest part of Africa, working by himself, getting some years on him. He'd run out of supplies.
Supposed to be bringing him something, but that's very indefinite. It could come today or it could come a week from today. Didn't have much left in the line of ammunition. Had a little pistol. Tried to go soul winning every day. Let me run that term by again. See if I can get any amens. Soul winning. Soul winning. I believe in soul winning. I believe the Holy Ghost has got to be there. I believe the Holy Ghost has got to convey. But I do believe in soul winning. He that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11. It's what I'm trying to say. Missionary went out soul winning. Killed him a rabbit or two while he was gone. Came back to his little tent. Didn't have a compact little tent, a little stove, little bunk, a little table in it. And he looked in the tent and there was a snake from the jungle that had gone into his tent. Maybe dry, maybe, I don't know what. Boa, let me get this right now. Boa constrictor. Don't know much about them. That's them snakes that'll wrap around you and squeeze you to death. Boa in his tent. He didn't have but one bullet left. Snake in his tent. He said, I tried to get that snake out of my... Said, I tried to lure it out. I asked it to leave. I begged it. Said, it would not pay a bit of attention. Are y'all with me? Snake in the tent. He said, I did the only thing I could, though I regretted it. He cocked his gun. Got as close as he felt he safely could. Pulled the trigger. And he said, I know it. I saw it. Said it blowed his head. Slap off. Preacher said, I saw its head explode. Dead snake in the tent. But he said, you would not believe what began to happen in my tent. He said that dying snake began to writhe and move in those death throes. Said he wrapped himself around my little table, made toothpicks out of it. Said he got a hold of my little bunk and was destroying it. Said my little makeshift kitchen was going up in smoke. And said I stepped back and I thought, Lord, look here. My world's being torn apart. This old snake is making the biggest mess I've ever seen. And said, then the Lord reminded me. Yeah, he's tearing a lot of things up, but do remember he's a dead snake. Played. He's a dead snake. Understand that. Hey, the devil's loose. The devil's tearing some things up. The devil is absolutely destroying a whole lot. But I want you to remember, he's a dead snake. He got his head blowed off 2,000 years ago. Thank God. Thank God we're on the winning side. Hallelujah. He spoiled principalities and powers. I got 8 minutes if I go to 60. Can y'all make it 8 more minutes? And I'm in verse 15. Don't let me forget that. He made a show of them openly. The demons. He made a show of them openly. I didn't know it was going to work out this way. We had that verb to make a show of last night. Don't know if you'll remember it or not. It means to put it on public display. It's a lot like what a bass fisherman does when he lands at 14. 16 pounder. Honey, make my picture. This one ain't going in the frying pan. This one's going on the wall. Up above the mantle. Are y'all with me? I can tell a lot of y'all aren't fishermen. Hold that for a minute. See if you get this. It's a deer. 10-pointer. I outsmarted him. Been after him for 2 years, but I finally figured out his way. And I got, that one ain't going to be hamburger meat neither. You know what's going to happen to that? On the wall to the taxidermy. Outsmarted him finally. I caught this one. I believe it's Jesus shed his blood and died on the old rugged cross. Knocked the devil slap out of his armor. He looks at his father and he says, Father, I'm sure you're aware, needs a man, but I got him. I got him. I whooped him. I overcame him. I overpowered him. Oh my, oh my, oh my, I'm glad my Savior has made a show of the devil and the demons openly. I'm proud of my Lord Jesus tonight. Hallelujah, dude. And then that last line, triumphing, triumphing over them, the demons, triumphing over them in it. We've got 5 minutes and I'll be done. But then that 5 minutes, triumphing over them, didn't mean nothing to me when I read it. Y'all have been reading it, so I don't know. But it is a very precise term. The Roman Empire rarely, but occasionally, gave a triumph called a triumphant march to a very few select generals. Here's the way it worked. Probably got 4 minutes now to tell you. The Roman emperor would call in his best general, best the army had to offer. And he'd say, sir, there's an enemy over there eating us alive. He's tearing us up on the western flank. Going to be a great detriment to our capital if we don't do something. I need you to go. And I need you to take him on. Can't promise you success. You may be killed. But I need you to go and take on the enemy. Defeat him. The name of the crown. If you can. That general would go. A lot of them never came back. They died on the battlefield. But if one ever conquered and came back to Rome, they gave him a parade. It is called the Roman triumph. The Roman triumph. And that's exactly what Paul has in mind. And the Colossians would have known it too. Jesus triumphed over the devil because of his bloodshed on Calvary. I'm going to a parade one of these days. I'm not talking about no Christmas parade. I'm not talking about no Easter parade. I'm talking about a Jesus parade. Hallelujah. As I close, let me tell you a little bit about the Roman triumph. If that general whooped the enemy, and Jesus did whoop the enemy, the first thing they'd do is set him on a white horse to ride back to Rome. No other color would do but white. It is the picture of victory. They'd put him on a white horse. And they would send in advance some crowns to put on his head. They'd crown that general before he even got to the capital city. Man on a white horse wearing some crowns. They would say to that general, please do not put on a brand new fresh uniform. Wear those bloody clothes that you wore when you conquered the enemy. We want your vesture to be blood stained and blood splattered, if you will. Anybody with me right now? And they said, would you please carry the sword with which you conquered your arch enemy? And if it's a two-edged sword, all the better. And they said, we need to put your name somewhere on your body. And oh my, I see heaven open, wrote John, and riding on a white horse, and crowns upon his head, and a blood-stained garment, and a sword, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It's my Savior, and He's coming. He's coming back again. He's going to triumph. He's going to triumph. He's going to triumph over the devil and over hell and over the grave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To His good name. I may be a little over time, but I am closing. It said people would line up on both sides of the road when he got to the capital city. I'm glad I'm going to the capital city one of these days. It said when he went by, they'd say, glory, glory, praise him, hallelujah to his name. Some of them would wave palm branches. I guess some of us will have to wave our white hankies. Oh my, I'm looking forward to that day when he'll triumph over the devil. I'm looking forward to parade day. I want to get me a place front and center. I want to love him. I want to brag on him. I want to say, if you'll get an amen, I'm done. Worthy, worthy, worthy is a lamb. Hallelujah. One almighty God.
Yes, he is.
What he did on the cross of Calvary for you and me. Let's stand with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. Our musician will play an invitation hymn. Somebody come love him tonight. Somebody come thank him for gracing away your sins. Somebody let him know you appreciate him. Rubbing out all that handwriting of ordinances that was against you. Somebody thank him for taking on the devil, stripping him of his armor, hanging him out to dry, making a show of him openly. Oh, thank him that he's the triumphant Lord, glorious King and Master.
On a hill far away,
that's where it all happened.